And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can find them, for those of you in the Borderland region here in El Paso, you can find them at their physical location, no pun intended, 2700 Joe Battle Boulevard. You can also find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L, Athletic. You can also find them on their website at physicalathletics.com. Joining me now on the show, very happy, very excited to have our very first multi-guest panel here. Two individuals that I've struck a great friendship with, great relationship with, and yet I've never even met them. Funny how that works, in person, at least, in person. It kind of speaks to the power of soccer Twitter, one of the great things, a very, very powerful, positive community. So yes, soccer Twitter can work wonders. So we have today's show is all about the state of goalkeeping and the state of the goalkeeping position, what many regard, what I regard the hardest position to play in the game. So today we have the co-founder of Revolucion Goalkeeping Academy, Coach Hera Alvarez, and one of the best goalkeepers to come out of the 915 from America's high school, and also a recent graduate and a four-year starter in goal for the University of North Florida, and also now a coach on the coaching staff for Revolucion Goalkeeping Academy, Rhiannon Connolly. Rhi and Coach Hera, how are you?
Hi, doing well. First of all, thank you so much for having us, Coach Cano. Means a lot. And nice to finally talk to you face-to-face via Zoom.
Rhiannon, Coach Cano, thank you for having us. We're super excited to do this. Like you said, we haven't met each other in person just yet, but we have plans for when we are able to get to meet each other face-to-face.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm delighted to have you guys here. Excuse me. And so we're going to dive into the right away. We're going to dive into the position that everybody knows is absolutely important. And almost most sane people are afraid to play. Right. Everybody kind of looks at it like very unique, but truth be told, I'm a goalkeeping guy as well. That's kind of where I kind of got started to a certain extent on the coaching side. So I love it. I love goalkeepers. So, all right. So we're going to dive right into it. So for a quick question for you first, Hera, is talk about the position of goalkeeping, but as it relates to coaching, what is the importance, especially if you didn't play goalkeeper in your playing career, what is the importance of a coach to receive training, coaching education, for goalkeeping?
So I think I'm very romantic about goalkeeping and football or soccer. That's just the way I was brought up. And goalkeeping is truly an art form. I mean, either way you look at it, there's really no way to describe it. So if you've never set foot in the office, which is what we call it, and you've never really felt those butterflies when starting a game, you know, when the clock is running out, when you're up 1-0 and they're just taking shots on you, it's tough for non-goalkeeper trained or goalkeeper played coaches to feel comfortable there. But it is very, very important to have the goalkeeper education. However, I'm a firm believer that a webinar, a weekend a course doesn't do it justice, doesn't do the position justice, because again, it's such an art. There's only so much you can learn in a 2-hour webinar, Coach.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So Rhi, take us back to the very beginning, whether you were 3, 5, 7, 8, 9 years old, if you can remember that far back. How did you get started playing the position? And then What screw was loose in there that made you want to keep playing it?
So going back to, I was probably about, I don't know, around 10, maybe. I played on an all boys club team in El Paso, to be honest with you, on the side of town, from the east side in El Paso. Not a lot of options as far as playing on competitive or decent girls teams. So I actually played on an all boys team, which it transitioned into Texas Fire. So I played on Texas Fire for a little bit under Coach Richard Silva, who I adore. I love him. He's what the person that really got me started into playing goalkeeper. Well, our goalkeeper on our team, I was playing outside back at the time. Can't even tell you which side, probably on the right side, but one of my teammates who was playing in goal got hurt, and they threw me in goal during one of the games, and I did well. And they liked me there, which hurt his feelings because when he came back, he didn't have a spot. So Richard pushed me to start getting goalkeeper training, more formal training, and at the time I also was a dancer. My mom owns a dance studio in El Paso. So nice. I did soccer and I also danced, but when my mom was a single mom at the time, and it was very hard for her to get, she couldn't be in two places at once. So she kind of told me, she's like, look, between goalkeeper practice, regular team practice, and dance class, you need to pick. She's like, you need to, commit to something. So I finally just said, sorry, mom, not to hurt your feelings, but I like soccer more. So, I committed fully to soccer at that point, and I started doing goalkeeper training, and, I grew to love it from there. As far as having a screw loose, it's still very loose.
All right. Well, look at Rhiannon. She was cutthroat at coach. She was cutthroat at age 10, coach. She was already taking other people's positions. How about that?
It comes with a job, like you said. And funny thing, only one plays, that's the beauty of the position. That's something that we don't talk about, but it creates a lot of animosity within players, that this is when goalkeeper coaches need to step in. And this is when being a goalkeeper really helps, because you can understand those creatures, is what I call them. When I train them, I let them know that they are creatures. Because, you have a crazy wild creature like myself, or you can have a very timid yet wild or crazy creature, and you need to be able to communicate to both of them effectively and be able to be relatable and amiable with both of them. And it's a really, really tough task, especially as you enter the competitive ages or collegiate,
Right. And I think also to piggyback off of what he said, the position itself is really lonely. It's such a lonely position. And I think when you have a coach that hasn't played the position, or been in those shoes, they can't really relate to what you feel, when you have a bad game, or, when you make a mistake, because even when you don't make a mistake, but there's a goal, especially a lot of people that aren't well in tune with how the game works, blame you. And, it's very heavy, and it's a lot of pressure on your shoulders, a lot of weight on your shoulders. And I think that coaches that haven't played the game don't know that, and they just kind of dismiss it. And, I think from a mental standpoint, it helps a lot to have someone that knows what you're going through.
Yeah. When I think about goal, and this is just random, but when I hear goalkeeper, one of the very first images that pops in my head is, I'm sure you all have probably seen it, but it's a random image, stems from a little youth soccer league in England, where it's a little boys team all together, right? They're taking like one of those championship photos. And then off to the side, there's a goalkeeper, you can tell, still has his gloves on, and he's like literally standing on his head, he's completely separate from the rest of the team. And I don't know why, that's just like that. I love that picture, because it speaks to, when you hear the phrase goalkeepers are a different breed, that that encapsulates that perfectly. So, you know, Ree, you mentioned, and I have a theory here because I experienced it personally with my 13-year-old daughter that also plays. You mentioned dance, right? And you mentioned dance. And so she started, you know, my daughter, when she was playing, she started, same thing, soccer at about age 3, playing with a bunch of 5-year-olds, had a kind of initial first outing. And then we put her in ballet for a little while. And there is a very serious connection in terms of agility and footwork between, you know, ballet, dance, mm-hmm. and soccer. So when she came back to soccer, I saw the difference, a dramatic difference. So how did you feel that helped you?
To be honest with you, I mean, first of all, the amount of effort and talent that ballerinas have, I have immense respect for them. I actually, when I'm back at home in El Paso, I go to my mom's studio and I ask her if I could drop in on some of the classes and just do only the warm-up. I can only make it through the warm-up. You know, because it's rough. So I asked her if I could do the stretching portion and the warm-up with the ballerinas. Of course, I'm usually with like the 11, 12-year-olds because that's the extent of training that I have. And even then, the teacher, I tell her, I'm a lost cause. You don't have to sit here and correct my form the whole time. But it's incredible. It's incredible the amount of core strength that goes into it and the amount of coordination, footwork, balance. You know, so I don't know. They're superhuman. I have to say that.
Yeah. So, excuse me, Coach Alvarez, we dive into a little bit more of your background. You know, you were a goalkeeping coach previously at UTEP, and obviously also the co-founder of Revolucion Goalkeeping Academy. And kind of full disclosure for our listeners, our kind of relationship started even before Twitter, ironically, because, you know, you were one, you know, you helped train my daughter. We would bring her, you know, she would stay, her and my little one, they would spend the summers here in El Paso, you know, with grandma and grandpa. And sure, I mean, and we plugged her in every year to the, you know, the UTEP Summer Soccer Academy and the camp there. And that's where she first, you know, that's where she first met you, got to train with you. And then you gave her, an affectionate nickname that has now stuck with her playing style. Do you recall that?
Of course I recall her. I recall her everything. I have a pretty good memory, almost photographic. So of course I remember Selma, aka Feisty. And the reason why she earned, I don't think I'm gonna say I gave it to her. I think she earned it. She earned the nickname. Was because I like to be, I believe I'm a player's coach and I like to be involved hands-on. I jump in. I believe that the best way of showing is by doing. So I jump in and I do not recall what her age group was, but I did recall moving her up a couple of age groups, requesting that she be moved up with me because she was so feisty and so confident in herself that she would look for me to go up head to head in the exercises that we would do. So of course I remember her. She is absolutely incredible. And like you said, I mean, that was way before we met each other, and somehow life always comes around. And I still hold the picture of Selma and I after the training. As a matter of fact, I sent it to Rhiannon and she's seen it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
I've heard about Feisty. I know who Feisty is.
Yeah, well, Feisty's about to be in high school next year, so yikes.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, she definitely gets that, I think, that that competitive streak from her mom, for the record. Okay, I don't know about from dad. So so coach, in speaking to that, talk a little bit about your time in the college game, you know, because we have student athletes, we have parents that are listening to this. And from your perspective, in terms of the goalkeeping position, what's kind of expected, you know, talk a little bit about your time there at UTEP as a goalkeeping coach and kind of words of wisdom for any, you know, for our high school age goalkeepers that want to take that plunge to the next level.
Absolutely. I think, my time at UTEP, let's just, you know, get straight to it. It was unbelievable. unbelievable. Being able to work at University Field and being able to experience those sunsets every day at the pitch is something that I consider myself very, very grateful for, because sometimes I would stay after practice, lights on, I would just sit down barefoot, just think, you know, I would get home midnight and practice would end 8, 7:30. In regards to what a goalkeeper, at least in my eyes, what I was looking for in a goalkeeper is, first, I know you're a big advocate in the collegiate recruiting for high school athletes. One of the first things, especially with my name, Gerardo Alvarez, when you send an email to a coach, do not misspell their name. That is the first thing that I want to touch on, because I was young once, not anymore, something that I made sure when I was emailing prospective coaches was make sure that I get the right coach's name, because we all use templates. Let's be honest. We all use templates, but it is our responsibility to go back and check the template and personalize it, tailor it. You know, we can't be using just copy paste. We cannot be lazy. This will be our new job. We are hoping that this will be our job. As per technical abilities, first I look for the non-technical, the non-tangibles, that confidence, that craziness, that passionate, driven aura that you can, the vibe that you can give me. And the rest comes with great quality highlights. And this is something that I again want to discuss, because our parents, bless their hearts, we put them up to the camera, and we sometimes let them do our highlights. However, if you have a goalkeeper coach, you know, since we're talking about goalkeepers, run it through your goalkeeper coach instead of just, oh, this looks so sick, I'm gonna put it up on Twitter. Because sometimes, technically, it is for a goalkeeper coach, studied and trained and played, it's sometimes mind-blowing that you're putting that as an advertisement. And you know, I watch my Twitter feed and I'm like, oh my god, why did you do that? You could have lost your leg, you know. So that's some words of wisdom, some words of advice, coach.
Yeah, I think if I can piggyback on what you said, I know you talk about whenever you're emailing a college coach as a high school, you know, high school student athlete, you mentioned misspelling of the name. It's like, how about you, you know, not plug in the wrong, you know, another coach's name, you know, because we've heard those stories. I've actually had those discussions with, you know, with PSAs, with prospective student athletes who they're like, coach, oh my God, I sent this email and I realized it's like, I did everything correct. I said, but I sent it to the wrong coach, or they sent it to the right coach with the, you know, the wrong school's information, you know, so.
And coach, believe it or not, I say this because it happened to me at UTEP, prospective El Paso goalkeeper. She knew me personally for quite some time. And she was, I would say, careless or reckless enough to not pay close attention to the detail. And, you know, but like I always believe, you know, professionalism is what stands out. We have to be professionals because, like I said, this ends up being your career. And we must be professional at all times, especially a goalkeeper. Again, we can be wild and crazy and have and be missing screws, which we all are, terrible. However, when it comes to work, we work and we are professional and there's a discipline behind it. And I think all goalkeepers should have that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Discipline, discipline goes without saying, self-discipline. So Ree, you know, we were just talking about that with, you know, prospective student athletes that are in high school, you know, ready or wanting to make that jump to the next level and play the position of goalkeeper. But for you, your time playing both high school and club, by the time you were in, you know, once you were in high school, obviously, how were you able to balance those, and how did you feel, you know, because we all know the perspective of, you know, club, of what it has to offer, I think, in terms of developmentally the focus. But how do you feel, again, how were you able to balance both of those, but particularly high school soccer, how did you feel that helped you grow?
So just to touch on, well, I guess we'll touch on club first. So, you know, I played on two ECNL teams over the course of my 4 years in high school. I played with Sereno ECNL out in Phoenix, Arizona. And I played with Las Vegas Premier ECNL out in Las Vegas. You know, and those, they were great in terms of getting exposure, going to showcases. I do have to say a lot of coaches at the time, I know DA is real big right now, or if it's not disbanded already, because I did hear they were disbanding it. But I, you know, at the time that was the place to be as far as recruiting was ECNL. So I did that, and I would play there, you know, a couple weekends with each respective team. I would guest play with each team. And you know, it was difficult, of course, getting flown out there and everything. You know, my mom had to work two jobs, but you know, we always made it work. And I have to say that exposure definitely helped, but I have to say majority of my film came from my high school games. I would say 95% of the film that I did send to college coaches, and I actually was recruited solely off of a video, off of a highlight video at UNF. And that most of that film was from high school. I have to say high school, back when I was in high school, I have to say it's nothing compared to what you see now. Like, I have to give you, Coach Cano, major props as far as what you've done with the Sledas team. And then your social media presence, unbelievable. Unbelievable. America's, back when I was there, couldn't have dreamed of it.
You're gonna make me cry.
No, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. I see it and I'm like, that's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. But yeah, of course. No, I have to give credit where credit's due. As far as high school goes, first of all, I had a wonderful time playing high school. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I felt like it was, you know, somewhere where I could play and not have to be as stressed out or be as worried, even though I think I played there and I was relaxed there and I got really good game film. I also played against some incredible players when I was in high school. You know, Atsimba Casas, who played at Socorro at the time when I was in high school. And then Jackie Soto is another really good player. She played at El Dorado at the time. She's at UTEP now.
I saw her score a goal last week. My daughter and I were feisty, and I were at the UTEP NMSU New Mexico State game, and yeah, saw her score.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but you know, Jackie, one of my ex players, and funny that you bring up Atsimba, because I used to go record the film for her, and Atsimba now is killing it at FC Juarez Bravas, playing professionally in the Mexican league.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Reed, go ahead. You were talking about the talent you got to play against in high school.
Oh yeah. I mean, those are the two players that come to my mind when I think about it. You know, of course there were other great high school players, you know, when I was in high school. But those are the two, you know, that I think of right off the bat. They're phenomenal players, still continue to be phenomenal players. But yeah, so I mean, as far as that goes, like I said, high school's come a long way in El Paso, from what I can tell. Obviously, I don't go home super often, but from what I can tell, you know, it's the level of play is significantly higher from, you know, when I was in high school.
Yeah, and you know, that's great to hear, being that I just moved back here, you know, 2 years ago. But I guess, you know, not to date you, because you're very young, but that's pretty amazing to hear coming from you, because you just graduated high school, not even 5 years ago, you know,
about 5 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing to hear. And I think it's, you know, for coaches that might be listening out here, particularly college coaches, that's great to hear, just because, you know, I think this side of the state, particularly, you know, West Texas, far West Texas, there's a lot of talent here, a lot of talent, you know, that is just, that is unknown. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things in terms of being an advocate and a, you know, college recruiting consultant, you see some of the work that, you know, Prep One is doing as well. I think it's very, you know, very big, very good, and very much needed out here. And, you know, kind of following up with what you were mentioning about, you know, Jackie Soto, you know, my daughter and I last week were at that UTEP NMSU game, and a couple of the kids that were, you know, a couple of the players that were shining in that game, you know, were, they were El Paso products. You had Jackie, you know, Jackie Soto, and then you had, and another, the Jackie connection.
Is it Jackie Miller?
Jackie Miller out of Franklin.
Yeah. She's younger than me. I played, I trained with her brother when he was a goalkeeper. We used to train together, Josh. Yeah. But yeah, no, Jackie's significantly younger than I am, but the other Jackie Miller. Yeah. Wonderful girl, wonderful family. I love them. Yeah.
She's fun. I have a great appreciation for watching her play because she doesn't, when you watch her play, she doesn't do anything overly flashy, but the more you watch her play, it's just great. It's just, it's flawless. Mm-hmm. It's flawless. So, now, transitioning here, you mentioned, UNF, your time at University of Northern Florida. Talk a little bit about that and kind of when you look back on it now after high school, you arrived there, you know, talk about a little bit about your time there, what you learned. And when you look back on it, you know, what do you remember the most?
So initial arrival, you know, it was a little difficult when I first got here. So when I was recruited initially, I was recruited by the former goalkeeper coach, Matt Urbano, and he's wonderful. And he recruited me. Well, he ended up leaving UNF, I think the Saturday before I was supposed to arrive on campus for preseason. Wow. Yeah. So I arrived here initially, didn't have a goalkeeper coach, you know, and that went on for some time. So that was very difficult. And I actually made it a point to kind of revolve my recruiting process around having a goalkeeper coach and having a good goalkeeper coach. I think I had a really good connection with Matt when I first was being recruited. And that's something I really want to emphasize for young players is goalkeeper specifically, excuse me, is to go somewhere with a goalkeeper coach. I know a lot of colleges don't prioritize hiring goalkeeper coaches, but I think having one makes a tremendous difference as far as, you know, your training goes mentally. You know, you have someone in your corner when you have a goalkeeper coach, and when you have a good one, you know, that supports you, you have someone in your corner. And I think that's one of the most important things, if not the most important, you know, when you're looking at places to go. So when I arrived here, initially very difficult, a little bit of a culture shock, you know, coming from El Paso all the way to Jacksonville, Florida, something like 1600 miles. Yeah, it's a very different demographic than what I was used to, you know, but initially it's difficult, you know, when you make that switch, not just culturally or anything like that, but when you're transitioning from going from high school to college, that jump is very big. And, you know, you're expected when you get in to play at a high level that these girls have already been playing at for years. So, you know, you're expected to jump in and compete with them right away. And I had just come back from an ACL tear at that point. I was 6.5 months, 7 months post-op. And I have about 1 or 2 months clearing. Yeah, I had just been cleared about 1 or 2 months out. And, you know, initially very difficult, but, you know, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to play there, the opportunity to have my school paid for. And, you know, Jacksonville's beautiful. I love Jacksonville, Florida, you know, living by the beach, incredible. But like I said, that jump initially is pretty difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think psychologically takes any, it doesn't matter if you're playing ECNL, Girls Academy, whatever level, or even for, you know, for a boy, you know, soccer players as well. You go from being in high school, you go from being perhaps the best, or if not, you know, you're one of the top studs on the team, on the field at any given time. And now you're, you know, now you're, you may be like third, fourth, fifth rung in on your own college team, right? Everybody's good, right? Everybody's an all-star. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a transition without a doubt. So, So Hera, I know she's not gonna, she's not going to brag on kind of her record-breaking time at UNF, University of Northern Florida. Can you go ahead and tell us a little bit of what Rhee did in her time there?
Okay, well, where should I start? She was, I mean, I got to fly down there a few times and got to watch her play. She was absolutely tremendous, you know. Going back on what she said about the post-op injury, this is something that I don't think, again, like you said, she doesn't brag. However, she was, if not the fittest, the second fittest on the team after third fittest. I'm so sorry. There we go. There was a correction. Third fittest on the team throughout her career. But I mean, this was freshman year coming in post-op 6 months. She trained very, very hard to get ready because she was hungry and she just wanted to get it done. You know, she was representing El Paso and she knew the weight on her shoulders to carry the city, the beautiful city of the Sun City, her hometown. And she knew that she needed to set the bar high. A lot of people reach out to her for advice, and you know, and it, when they interact with her on Twitter, you know, the new recruits, I mean, they're talking to the Haley's Comet, you know, the Haley's Comet of goalkeeping. But just very briefly, she simply broke the record of most shutouts at UNF. So I think that pretty much just is the cherry on top.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was waiting for her to kind of try to mention that somehow, slip that in there, but I was like, no, she's way too humble, and what makes her such a tremendous leader and goalkeeper. So,
Thank you.
Absolutely. So quick follow-up question there, Rhee, is now you talk about, so you hit on it a little bit in terms of advice for aspiring young goalkeepers or players that might even be intrigued about the position, right? They just, they're not willing to commit, but you know, you're speaking to them, anything that you can add to, you know, in speaking to them or just also where you feel, especially now that you're entering the dark side. Now you're going, you know, you're coaching now, you know? So where do you feel on the playing side, where do you feel the position is headed as a player?
So as of right now, good. I'm very comfortable with the direction that goalkeeping's headed. You know, I ideally would like to see, you know, more girls, more women just kind of go out there, try it out, see how it is. But, you know, of course, that's, if you're going to get into goalkeeping, you need to be all in. It's not, I'm going to just go stand in the goal. If the ball is going to come at me, I'm going to flinch. No, you know, when, if you're going to commit to it, you need to commit to it. And I think that was something, I first started playing, my mom asked me, she's like, look, okay, now I've got to pay for goalkeeper lessons. Are you sure you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, mom, I want to do this. You know, it's so fun. It's so fun. And I think the biggest part of it is enjoying it. You can't do something and be this serious about it if you don't enjoy it. You know, you can't play it for 18 plus years if you don't enjoy it. And for me, that's how it was. It was that you have to really enjoy not only the game, but the position. And I think goalkeeping is something I'm very passionate about and something I do consider myself very knowledgeable about. You know, I don't consider myself very knowledgeable about many things, but goalkeeping is one thing I'm very confident that, you know, I know about, I know the game, I know kind of the ins and outs about it. So like I said, if that's something someone wants to get into or someone wants to try, I think that's very important, is to kind of be all in with it and make sure you love it. You know, I do throughout my, I guess, high school years, I was thinking back to high school, you know, there were some girls that I thought had tremendous talent as far as goalkeeping goes. But they didn't, I don't think they invested in themselves enough or cared enough about the position to either, you know, stick with it and play the position, you know, and I think that just kind of separates people there as far as that goes.
Yeah. You know, the amazing thing The beautiful thing and amazing thing about the goalkeeping position is, and I've often said jokingly, that that position is wasted on the youth, because it's the one position where you actually get better. Unlike all the other infield positions, it's the one position where you get better the older you get, you know, because mm-hmm. it's so mental, it's so psychological, yeah. you know, and yeah, and that's why I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. So coach, you know, looking at it now from kind of putting that, you know, that coaching hat on, where do you feel the position is headed, you know, from a coaching perspective? You know, when you look at it collegiately, in high schools, in club, where do you feel, you know, when you kind of at 35,000 feet, where do you feel from a coaching perspective, where do you feel the position is headed?
I think, let me speak first collegiately. I think some of the programs are doing great strides to hire, like Rhiannon said, hire those true goalkeeper coaches. And I'm gonna throw some shade and say some of the unspoken truths that we all know they are. We have an infestation of goalkeeper coaches, I'm putting it in quotations, that write on the resumes that they are goalkeeper coaches, just to get the interview, just to get the position. And ultimately it hinders the program and it hinders the goalkeepers they eventually end up working with. But going back to the question, we are moving on from that. Programs and coaches are starting to hire real true goalkeeper coaches or experienced goalkeepers. So I'm very comfortable and satisfied with where that's going. And most importantly, that we are starting to adopt that the goalkeeper is the most important position on the field. And we must take care of it. We must take care of that creature. The creature, they can't win the games, but they save them. You know, they save them. You know,
absolutely.
But like in my personal opinion, where the goalkeeper position is headed, is to a new modern goalkeeper, you know, a modern goalkeeper that wants to be involved, that is craving to make that assist, you know, that is craving to start that attack, that is craving to be a real footballer, a real soccer player, not just the person that stands between the pipes and tries to save the games.
Also, I want to piggyback off of something he said earlier in regards to coaches hiring, head coaches hiring assistant coaches that aren't actually goalkeepers. I also think a lot of head coaches think they can get away with hiring a third assistant and them not being goalkeepers, but having some sort of goalkeeper training or being able to kick a ball or, you know, something like that. And they think they can get away with, you know, hey, well, you know, I got two for the price of one is a third assistant. And, you know, they do some goalkeeper stuff on the side. You know, they can kick a ball. Well, to be quite honest with you, you know, lots of people can kick balls. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, and like I said, that's something I've also noticed where I feel like they think they can kind of cut corners and not invest in getting a good goalkeeper coach. You know, they think, oh, well, you know, like I said, now I have two assistants and this one can also kind of work with the goalkeepers, you know, whenever they have some time or whenever, you know, we need it, whenever the goalkeepers aren't involved in whatever the rest of the team's doing.
Right, right. And, you know, and it'll be interesting. Some of it is, and obviously when you look at it a little differently, whether it's, you know, particularly maybe the D3 level, sometimes an AIA or especially, you know, the JUCO level, budgetary, maybe, I don't know if it's budgetary reasons or sometimes also, you know, and budgets, let's be real, budgets will be affected, you know, over probably the next at least 2 to 3 years because of COVID, you know? So, yeah. So yeah, absolutely. It's, you see, it's all over the place, all over the map in terms of coaches that are doing the absolute best to do it the right way. And then, I mean, you have some coaches that they may not necessarily really know the right mm-hmm. way when it comes to the goalkeeping coaches. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's something I even, you know, I've definitely thought too, especially, you know, when we talk about like lower divisions, you know, or schools that don't necessarily have, they're not fully funded or don't have, you know, the necessary budget. I think in that case, I think coaches should always look at their second assistant as being a goalkeeper coach or hiring a true goalkeeper coach. But, you know, going back to, you know, we could even use high school as an example. You know, I'm sure there's coaches out there that, you know, that's something I understand. I think high school coaches should also really educate themselves as far as goalkeeping goes too. You know, that's something that's understandable. You know, you don't have a lot to work with, and you know, especially with when you're a high school coach, you can't go pick and choose the best goalkeeper coach and bring them in, and you know, that's really difficult. So I think whenever coaches, high school coaches, make the effort to try to learn the position and understand why mistakes happen or why goalkeepers do certain things they do, even looking into the psychology behind it, that's very admirable to me. You know, especially because I feel like they're doing everything they can to try to accommodate to their goalkeepers. And you know, like I said, it's a lonely position. So anytime I think coaches are making the step in the right direction to kind of do right by their goalkeepers, that's ideal. That's definitely ideal.
Well said. Well said. So Hedda, as we kind of, just like we asked Ree right now, any, you know, as we start to transition here, what is any words of advice for young aspiring goalkeepers, you know, boy or girl, they're playing ECNL, MLS next, you know, the GA Girls Academy right now, they're playing whatever level, you know, not only those levels, you know, let's say they're playing, you know, Premier or a, you know, D1, D2, you know, in the youth ranks, you know, or a high school athlete that is, you know, just entering, playing the position, you know, any aspiring words for them?
I think the words would have to come from the heart, at least from my heart. Like I said early on, I'm very romantic about goalkeeping. And just the words of wisdom that I would have to say is, commit to it, fall in love with it, accept it, learn to love yourself being the goalkeeper, the lonely creature back in the goal that doesn't get to celebrate with anyone. So we celebrate by ourselves and we see everything from afar and everybody's hugging themselves and high fives. And we just turn around, get a sip of water and on to the next. So I think that is my best advice to them. And if they're wanting to try it, jump in. It's the most beautiful position in the sport. And it's biased completely. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful to be different. It's beautiful to have that control of your emotions. And it's beautiful to shine when everything is crumbling by your side. Everybody's crumbling, everybody's terrified, and you are rock solid, nothing moves you. And it comes with like you said, with time. It's a maturity thing, and that only the position allows you. And again, being romantic as I am, it goes off the pitch and it goes onto life. I believe goalkeepers have, when they grow up to be family people, professionally, they have that confidence in themselves that everything is going to go right because they were a goalkeeper. There was no other option.
Right.
True.
Right.
True. I also have another piece of advice just for, and this one's for young players in general, not necessarily just goalkeepers. I think college is in, or playing in college, soccer in college, is an amazing way to get your school paid for. And I think that young athletes should look and try to focus on, one, where they'll be the happiest, and two, who's willing to pay for them. Because it's having your school paid for and being able to do what you love day in and day out is, that's incredible. That's super incredible. And I think that's what they should look for. They should, you know, I think it's great to have dream schools and look at, you know, oh, I'm going to go play national champion UNC or UCLA. Great goals, wonderful goals. Are they going to pay for you though? Are they willing to give you that money? I would I would just tell them my best advice, go with who is willing to pay for you and where you'll be happy. Of course, you know, like me personally, you know, if maybe like Wisconsin was going to pay for me, I don't know that I'd be that happy in Wisconsin, but I don't like the cold. But you know, I think that's a big piece of advice that I think a lot of young players should hear. Cause I think it's such a great resource. And, you know, I think it takes a great burden off of their family, especially, you know, El Paso kids. You know, I know that a lot of them, you know, are kind of looking for outlets and looking for ways to have their school paid for. And I think that that's the best way. It's wonderful. And you get to do what you love and you get to get paid to do it.
Well said. You know, and for our student athletes that are listening here right now, you'll notice at no time did Rhiannon say, it's got to be D1. It's D1 or bust, right? At no time did she say that. So, So something to keep in mind for sure. So
absolutely.
All right, guys. So I know you're going to stay with us. You'll be back with us for our counterattack segment shortly. So for our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can find them at their physical location at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard here in El Paso. And you can also find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's FYZICAL. You can also find them on their website at physicalathletics.com. So we're back, counterattack segment. I don't know, you guys look like you're a little nervous, sweating it. It's like we're going to penalties here. I don't know, you guys look a little nervous. Are you ready?
That's where we shine. We're ready for this. That's where we shine.
All right. Okay. So we'll go. So I'll ask both of you this question one at a time, obviously, but any pregame. So coach, this is now more for you on the coaching side, obviously, but Rhi as a player, any pregame or postgame rituals?
Oof, lots of them. Like I said before via Twitter, I'm very superstitious. That comes from my playing days. But I think one that never failed me at UTEP was in the assistant coach's office. I would always stretch and warm up myself. And right before we would say time to go, I'd always do three little hops all the way up, or it's like high knees or knees to chest. Yeah. So three, very powerful. And I would kind of yell to myself, let's go. And that's one, obviously. And the other one is the one that during my playing years, and moving on to my coaching years, I never was able to control, is having to go to the bathroom right before I have to go. I mean, it's the butterflies and I just have to go, you know, it's the butterflies and I have to go. And after that, let's go. Yeah. On an empty bladder, eh? Sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, so a couple of rituals, pregame rituals mainly, not so much postgame. I really didn't do much after postgame or after the game. I write my family's initials, my loved ones, on my wrist before I play. My glove goes over on my, always on my left hand because I'm right-handed. I can't write on my other wrist.
I was about to ask the left, yeah. But why the left, but never mind. Okay.
Yeah. Always on the left because I'm not left-handed and I can't write on my right hand. Yeah. So, always my family members, I appreciate them. They made great sacrifices for me to be able to do what I love. It's a little way for me to, they don't know that I do it. Maybe now if they're listening to this, they know, but I don't know that they know I do.
Of course.
Yeah. Everyone is. So that's a little thing I do. And then back when I was in high school, there was a goalkeeper that played on my club team that I really, really looked up to. Her name was Jalen Tompkins, and she would do this thing where she would jump up and touch the post every time. Oh, she did it multiple times throughout the game. I love Jalen. She's a wonderful player. She's playing pro now. I believe in Norway or Sweden. She's killing it. So I do this thing prior to, you know, the start of the game where we do, you know, we do our team huddle, and then I sprint, I slap the crossbar every game. that's, I have to do it. And I had to do it because Jaylen did it. And look, when growing up, she was only a year older than me, but I always looked up to her and she always did it. And I can't start a game without it.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think I stay now, you know, now I stay away from any type of serious, rigorous physical activity or pregame jumps, because then coach will be on the sideline getting treated by the trainer the entire game. So that's out of the question. All right. So next one, other sport you would have played or coached, if not soccer?
Go ahead, Hedda. You start.
Oof, this is a tough one, man. So soccer is everything for me, but I think I, growing up in the streets of Mexico City in the barrio, I would say boxing, because I really, really used to like to box with my friends. And during school at WT, I fell in love with racquetball. So I think I would have done real good at racquetball.
Nice.
For me, I enjoy volleyball. I love playing volleyball. You know, I'm decent at it. I wouldn't say I'm great, you know, but probably if I wasn't playing soccer, that's probably what the sport I'd be playing. I think the reason I stayed away from it is because my dad likes volleyball, and he definitely would have been, you know, a dad coach, and I couldn't deal with it. I was like, you know what? Nope, we're not doing that.
All right. Okay, so next one. So during the pandemic now, favorite Netflix or any other platform, favorite series you've been able to really dive into and binge watch during the pandemic?
Go ahead, Hedda. You go ahead.
Oof, this one is a tough one. I try to stay busy, and I don't start shows on my own. You have to recommend them to me, or movies. You have to recommend them so I can watch them. But I'm a big fan of Narcos. Love Narcos.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of that crazy series called You. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I love La Casa de Papel, aka Money Heist. It's a really cool show. Mm-hmm. And ever since I can remember, a big diehard Law and Order SVU fan.
Yes. Yep.
Oh,
I was watching that last night. Yeah, no, me too. I'm similar shows. I love La Casa de Papel. It's great. Tiger King, when the pandemic first started, I was really into Tiger King. Yeah, Carol Baskin. Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else I've kind of been into. Law and Order SVU, always SVU. It's wonderful. Can't go wrong with it. And then Grey's Anatomy. I always watch Grey's Anatomy.
Really? Grey's Anatomy? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. That's good. Yeah, I don't know if I've like come across one, you know, honestly for me, I've mentioned this in a few episodes. I think the one that really kind of surprised me, and I don't know if you all had a chance to see it, it was the one that was through Apple TV, the Ted Lasso, the one that started as a joke, as a commercial, you know, what, 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And it kind of became the surprise hit of 2020 because, you know, everybody thought it was just going to be a joke and comedy, and it is, you know, there is comedy obviously, but mm-hmm. You know, without spoiling it for you guys, that series has heart, you know, it has heart. It's really good.
And I sorry if you haven't seen it, and I'll try not to spoil it because I spoil a lot of things.
I've never seen it. Go ahead. No, it's okay. Go ahead.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned it, Coach, because I think it touches a lot on something we talked about today, which was the psychology of the player that we don't work on enough here in the US. Club, collegiate, I'm not sure about pro, PDL, USL, MLS, I'm not sure. But for sure, collegiate, no. Club, no. And that's something that we do need to get back into getting in there and work on that psychology, because Ted Lasso, he delivers thanks to the psychology. Having a harmonious locker room gives them the results.
Right. Yeah, that's well put. Okay, so next one here. This one always gets people fired up a little bit. Favorite and least favorite soccer team. So does it club, you know, college, pro, foreign, domestic, the favorite one and the least favorite one, if there is one.
Oh, Heda wants me to go first. He's pointing at me. Right now, I've been really enjoying watching Manchester City play. I have to attribute a lot of it to Ederson. He is my favorite goalkeeper right now. Wonderful, phenomenal goalkeeper. Lately I've been watching him play a lot, and I'm blown away with him every time he's on the field. I think he's a phenomenal goalkeeper. I think he's amazing with his feet. I think he's a modern goalkeeper. He starts plays, and he kind of reminds me of Manuel Neuer in a way, you know. But so recently Manchester City, been loving watching them play. As far as like a least favorite team, I don't know that I have a least favorite team or a team that I don't like very much. You know, I couldn't tell you, honestly. I don't know. Go ahead, Heda. I don't know. Maybe I'll think of one when he starts talking. It's probably his favorite team, but.
My favorite team, I'm going to go kind of cliche, but still romantic. Barcelona for me, including Victor Valdez. I know a lot of people are gonna trash Victor Valdez, and he's terrible, and he was terrible, and he was terrible, but he was confident.
You admitted it.
Yes, he was terrible. He was terrible. Technically, he was a calamity with his feet. He was terrible. He would make a lot of mistakes, but he was very confident. I loved his book. He has a book called Método V, written in Spanish, where he talks about overcoming the fear of success. And he won everything. Aside from that, it brings me back to great memories from April of 2015, when Rhiannon took me to Barcelona along with her mother. Shout out to Christy, the Queen O'Connell. Nice.
She's the best.
So I don't know if you knew that, Coach Cano, but that's an anecdote. She won a contest to meet Neymar. And she got to fly us to Barcelona. And I don't know how I made it, but I made it. And Barcelona, the team, the city has a special place in my heart. But I'll let her do give you more details. And least favorite team, of course, Barca fan, has to be Real Madrid.
Really? Okay.
I was going to say, bring it. Hey, bring it, buddy. Bring it.
Let's go.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I was about to just pull the plug on this podcast as soon as you said Barca, but it's like, okay, I'll let it go. So
yeah. What about you, Coach Cano? I'm curious. What team, favorite team, least favorite?
So my favorite, my favorite is probably, honestly, I guess it's more like 1 and 1A. It's between, you know, really, I'd have to say ultimately, you know, Real Madrid, and Liverpool. And the reason why, you know, Real Madrid is because that's kind of the lineage of my family from that region. When you go way back in the Cano surname, right? So at a really early age, that was kind of bashed into my head that, hey, this is who we support, right? And that whole, and I remember when I was growing up, when I was a little one, you know, it was when they were entering that Galacticos era, right? And it was just, it's just, everything is like supreme. And there was something about the white, you know, the white kits, you know, that they played in. And, you know, so, and I fell in love with it. And then when I was in Europe, you know, I got to go there, and I went to Camp Nou also to watch a Barca game. And I was in heaven, you know, it was awesome. And Liverpool is because, you know, one of my closest mentors, you know, he came through the Liverpool Academy system and turned pro for Liverpool, never broke through into the senior team. But yeah, there's a direct connection there. So yeah. And then, you know, and then I try to make it a point to try to really support domestic, you know, with MLS, So there was kind of, I didn't really have an MLS team. So I was a season ticket holder for the Colorado Rapids for a while I was in Colorado. But the team that I've kind of become a big fan of in MLS has been LAFC. There's a mystique about them. You know, there's a mystique about the colors, the every, you know, what they're about. I'm a Bob Bradley fan. And then of course, you know, in Liga MX, you know, the other part of the lineage really of my family, my mother's side being from Guadalajara was, so naturally, you know, a Chivas fan. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Gotcha. So I love
watching the Liga MX, honestly. I feel like, you know, when me and my friends, we discuss football, we talk about, you know, EPL and La Liga, but I'm like, I love Liga MX. I watch anytime it's on, I'm watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So next one for hidden talent, secret talent, something that very few people may know about you.
Oh my gosh. I don't know that I have any talent. Oh my gosh. I couldn't even tell you. I don't know. Hedda, do I have any talents? No, I don't. I don't know. Do you?
I'm not sure. I'm actually quite struggling with this one. What are talents? I don't know, man.
We can use the word talent loosely. You know, we can use that loosely if we need to.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I mean, Go ahead.
I think one of my talents is, even though I drive like a Mexico City driver, I always still follow every driving law in the book. And Rhiannon, you can attest to this.
I can. No, he's a very aggressive but very correct driver. Like, if he's going to cut you off, blinkers on, and you know, you're getting cut off. But he's gonna let you know. You know, or anytime there's double lines, you know, for him to not change lanes, he doesn't do it until, you know, it's the dashed lines.
Yeah, I don't know if cut you off is in the rule book, though. You know, I don't know about that one. I don't know.
Change lanes aggressively in front of you.
I think it's called passing, guys. Come on, passing.
Passing.
There we go.
Aggressively in front of you.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Yeah. As for me, I don't know. I can longboard. I think, I don't know if that's a talent. I can longboard. I'm good at it. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That's something.
So she doesn't just longboard. I mean, she has this wild longboard that goes up to like 22 miles an hour. It's electric, and she takes it around the parks and around her neighborhood. But this is the special talent. She takes her massive, big Great Dane with her longboarding. That is a talent. How big is he? What's
Leo,
his weight?
He's 170.
170 and longboarding at 22 miles an hour with an electric longboard.
It's not safe. I know he's bragging about it. It's really not safe. Don't do this at home.
Kids, don't try it at home.
He's very bad. He's not very well behaved. It's pretty dangerous.
your dog weighs 170 pounds. Wow. That's,
yes.
That's, yeah, basically, no, that's like, that's me living there with you, basically.
Well, he's a big dog.
And I'm being gracious. I probably shaved off a few pounds, to be honest, but okay, so next one, and this one usually stumps some people. So, so Rhee as a player and Hedda, coach, as a coach, is most random thought that's entered your mind in the middle of a game?
Oh boy! Oh my gosh! I'm sure there's some random ones, you know, because sometimes, especially when it's not a like very intense game, I'm like, oh, you know, oh wow, what is that person wearing? You know,
you know, goalkeepers have them. You know, if
oh yeah, definitely
a goalkeeper, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Usually, it's you know, if someone on the other team has like a ridiculous hairdo, or why is she wearing her shorts like that? Oh my gosh, you know, like, roll your shorts down. What are you doing? That's usually, I guess, mine.
There you go.
Or why is this girl playing with her hair down? That's another one. I don't understand. I will never understand how girls can play with their hair down, but that's probably one of them.
Okay.
So cool. I think on the bench at UTEP, mainly at UTEP, it would always come to me like, what's for dinner? Always, always.
Post-game meal.
Post-game meal, always, always. I mean, and even if it was an intense game, you know, I'd be completely intense and I'm like, oh man, I hope that Paige was our manager at the time. I hope that Paige saved me some of those Andes mint from Olive Garden. Always, always. I hope she saved me some. Always.
Oh, I thought of another one. if my family was at the game, oh man, I really hope they're not on their phones right now. I really hope they're paying attention. That's one, because man, when they're at my games, they're, you know, they're like this. They're sitting there like buried in their phone. Not all of them. My mom is she loves watching the game, but my stepdad, my siblings, man, I really hope they're watching right now, you know.
Yeah. So Hedda, you'll love this one. So last night's game, right? So, you know, my girls' team, we had a game last night. We're on the road. And so my assistant traveled with them last night because I had to go by vehicle separately. And so we're late in the game, I think about 10, 12 minutes left, somewhere in there, 15 minutes maybe. And, you know, one of my little rituals is one of the things that I like to do, unless I'm just not hungry, is Whataburger, right? Whataburger post game. So randomly it just popped in my head last night. It's like, hey, I think there's a Whataburger on the way before I hit Trans Mountain to go home, right? You know, so that popped in my head. I was thinking about that. And I was just like, meanwhile, and then like 3 seconds later, I go right back to shouting instructions and yelling, you know. So so yeah, so that's funny you mentioned that. All right, so last one here. So post-pandemic, you know, we're back to, you know, hopefully what will be normal once again. Sunday dinner, Ree, you've come back home, right? The entire family, you have family coming from out of town. Coach, you have family, all kinds of family coming in from out of town as well. You're cooking dinner. You're the chef. What are you cooking?
Me, I would cook my famous and very easy chicken and mushroom stroganoff. I throw it in the crock pot, serve it over noodles, and everyone's happy.
Wow. That one is interesting, eh? I thought that Rhiannon was going to say that she was going to make her famous cocktail de camarón. Her famous.
Oh, I do make cocktail. Really good cocktail. Yeah, you're right. Nice. You're right. That's when my parents request that, I make it. If we're talking about a hot meal, you know, it would be my crock pot stroganoff. It's, you would never know it was made in a crock pot. It's delicious. It's so easy. You throw it in the crock pot and you leave and no one knows. It's an amazing meal. But yeah, no, my cocktail de camarón, fire.
Nice. Nice.
For me, I think would be taquitos al pastor, without a doubt. Taquitos al pastor. Oh man, that's, and I would cook it I cook it for those that I love, you know, again, with the cheesiness and the romanticism, but yes, no, I mean, that is, comes from the heart.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know, what amazes me is that both of you guys were all over it with what are you cooking immediately with confidence, but had no idea when I asked you what your secret or hidden talent is. That's pretty amazing.
That's true. Well, that's the thing, you know, I've been asked that before, and you know, there's always icebreakers, especially when you're in college, people ask you, you know, little icebreakers, tell us one interesting thing about yourself. Right. I can't tell you one interesting thing about me that doesn't have anything to do with soccer, to be honest. Yeah. You know, I'm like, that's like my, you know, anytime in college, hi, I'm Rhiannon, I play soccer, you know, that would be like, you know, that would be my introduction. Yeah.
You got to put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, no kidding. I need to find something else I'm good at.
Let's trademark that.
There you go. Awesome. Well, Ree, Hedda, this has been tremendous. I really appreciate, you know, you all are our first, you know, multi-guest panel here. Absolutely loved it. You know, big fans of what you guys are doing. And for those of us, you know, for our listeners that might want to get more information, connect with you all, maybe be able to discuss more, you know, goalkeeping recommendations, what have you, where, you know, how can they maybe connect with you, or how can they find you? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so honestly, if anyone has any questions, my Twitter always open, Instagram, my Instagram's private, but you know, if you do message me, I'll check the messages. But it's at Ree Connelly, R-H-I-C-O-N-E-L-L-E-Y, on both platforms, on pretty much like every platform you can find me there, or Rhiannon Connelly on Facebook. Honestly, I'm open anywhere. Nowhere would be weird. You can message me.
Thank you, Coach. I mean, thank you for having us. It's been an absolute blast. You know, thank you, Rhiannon, for you know, coming out and doing this for us.
No, thank you guys and including me. I was really happy that you guys asked me. I thought that was so nice.
And you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Gera_Alvarez19. So GERA_ALVAREZ19. And like Rhiannon says, anything, any advice, any suggestions, anything you want to talk about, feel free. I love this interaction. I love social media interaction. And I can only speak for myself, but I'm here to answer any questions. Send me your videos. I've had very bold goalkeepers that have sent me their whole highlight and they tell me, what do you think, Coach? And I actually critique it. I actually open up a Google Docs. Good. And I critique it and I send it back to them. I'm like, there you go, my friend.
Good.
So
that's awesome.
Twitter, Instagram, always open. Facebook, if you want to do it, Gera Alvarez. And like Rhiannon says, any means of communication are always open to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. You know, we look forward to having you all in a, you know, down the road future episode as return guests. And, you know, we'll dive into it at a certain point. You know, we'll be able to dive in, Gera, with the third. I call you all the triplets. I know you guys didn't know that, but the other third piece of the goalkeeping Holy Trinity there, Coach Obed Hernandez, and he'll be coming on one of our show, you know, one of our episodes at a later time. Love what you guys are doing. Love what you guys are about. And Ree, I wish you nothing but the best as you're continuing with grad school as well. And if you need anything, don't hesitate to reach out as well for you, Coach. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for everything.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. Hopefully when next time I'm in El Paso, hopefully I can catch a game. But thank you again. Means a lot. It means the world that you know, asked me to be on your podcast today.
Absolutely. Thank you. An honor to have both of you. Thank you so much. All right. For our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from these sponsors.